Appreciate Pastor Brasser. I didn't put that part on tape, brother. So
you can preach. You were gone.
All right, preach to us tonight.
All right, thank you very much.
You only got 6 feet here.
Yeah, I got, can't walk very far. All right, praise the Lord. Yeah, he didn't finish the story. Okay, there was a woman involved. And amen for that, I'll tell you. But it was good. Yeah, for many years I was the go-between between him and his brother. I would see his brother on almost a daily basis. We were in Johnson City, and his brother was the gentleman who would always fix our furnace. And when we had a problem and so forth, and Chuck would come over and do it, and then we went over to school, we would see him because he worked there. And so Chuck, whenever I saw Ed, he always asked me, he said, "How's my brother doing?" And so I had the privilege of doing that, so it was great. Take your Bible, if you would, and let's soon turn back to the book of Habakkuk. I have a trouble sometimes of finding him in my Bible. I don't know about you, but anyway, okay. And chapter 2, Habakkuk says this in verse 1. "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me, what I shall answer when I am reproved." I don't know about you, but have you ever complained? How many have ever complained to God? All right, okay. Habakkuk is complaining. In chapter 1, he says, "How long, Lord? Why aren't you doing something?" And so the Lord says he's going to do something, but he doesn't tell Habakkuk what. And so Habakkuk says in verse 17 of chapter 1, "Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare, continue to slay the nations?" And that's the Chaldeans that are invaded. And the Chaldeans are wicked, wicked, wicked people. And so this is taking Habakkuk kind of by surprise why God hasn't wiped out those bad people. I don't know about you folks, but do you occasionally come across some bad people? How many of you say, "Lord, would you please zap them and take them out of the way?" Right, okay. Jim, our missionary back there, shaking his head. Right, you know. He was in our church yesterday in the morning. Amen. He and his wife gave a powerful message. It was great. We appreciate it very, very much. Okay, but I get it. Brother, can I pick on you a moment? That telephone number that's on your prayer card don't work. Because I tried calling you today.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And so, but anyway, that's a different story.
I don't like calling his office and that don't work.
They don't know where you are when you're in office.
I wasn't near that phone.
Right. Well, they gave us one number, and I called that number, and a gentleman answered, and I said, "I'm looking for Jim Morgan. He said, "He ain't here. I don't know who he is." So I said, "Okay, that didn't work." So I then called the second number they gave me, and they hadn't done something with their phone to give them a voicemail. So, but I'm glad you're here. I was trying to bum a ride off of you on the way. Yes, yesterday morning we went to church and everything was fine. We went home, and Sunday night we went started to go to church last night, and my car wouldn't go frontwards or backwards. And so we have a transmission that's shot. So I called Brother Ice and said, "I'm going to try and find a way down." So one of our men, he said he would bring us down. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, well, Habakkuk here has a problem, okay? And God says he's going to give him an answer, that he needs to have, but he's not going to understand it. Okay? And in chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. All right? And what the Lord is saying to giving to him is in verse 3, the vision is yet for an appointed time. I want to talk about that. That's the theme tonight, appointed time. And the second part of that is wait on the Lord.
Amen.
All right? Appointed time and wait on the Lord. Now, he says in verse 3 here, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. How many times have you ever gone to the Lord in prayer with a need, situation, whatever it might be, leaning on God's promise, and God didn't answer, it seemed like? All right? Now, God doesn't lie.
Right.
And all those promises that God has given us is going to be fulfilled. Maybe not in our time or in our way, but it will be in his time and in his way.
Amen.
And so we need to wait upon the Lord. Now in the book of Genesis we have there where God promised Abraham, who had no kids, no children, that he was going to become a father of great nations. And God said, made that promise. Well, Sarah, the wife, she came up with a scheme. You remember that? She said, well, now, I can't have children. I'm past the age when women, you know, are able to do that. So here's my handmaid. Sometimes we try to give God a hand and help him out. And the thing of it is, when we do, we make things a whole lot worse. Okay? But the thing of it is, it's tough to wait on the Lord. Okay? Now, we all have great things we would like to accomplish for our Lord. Correct? Brother Rice here wants to take everybody in Dresden get saved. Okay? Now, can that happen? Yes. Okay? But anyway, in the time that he is here preaching and going door to door and teaching and so forth and so on, okay, with that goal in mind, hey, you're taking God to this promise. But he's got to wait for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, sometimes God will answer his promise, but maybe not in our lifetime. Okay? But he'll answer it down the road. Down the road. I'd like to have you take your Bible. Keep your finger there in the back of your Bible. But go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll make it a little chapter 11. Okay, that'd be better. All right. On chapter 11, verse 13, we read this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Then if you go to verse 39 of the same chapter, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Okay, their faith took them looking to the fulfillment of that promise. That's what kept them going. But they didn't see the fulfillment of that promise.
Yeah.
All right? Sometimes we get discouraged. I never get discouraged. Forgive me, Lord. Okay, but yes, we do. We all have those moments when we get discouraged. But the thing with it is, we still have to just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to wait on you. You know the best time. You have an appointed time. All right? Now, we're all looking here tonight to an appointment. Right? We're all looking for that appointed time when Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm looking for the rapture. I don't know about you. God promised that. God promised that he's going to take us home one of these days. All right? And so we've been waiting. But you know, as I read my Bible, I find out that Paul was looking for the rapture. Peter was looking for the rapture. Some of the old saints of God that we've known over the years have been looking for the rapture. Brother Boyd, when he used to come, he was looking for the rapture. But he didn't get in the rapture. All right? But we have an appointed time. God has an appointed time when he's going to send his son and call us home. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it. It could happen today. Okay. Now, sometimes we get ourselves in such a mess. We're praying, Lord, please come and take me home by the rapture. Well, God doesn't work on our timetable.
Right.
He doesn't work on our advice. All right. But he works on his timetable. All right. And he has appointed a time. Now, if I read my Bible right, you can correct me, guys, but Jesus doesn't know when he's going to come back yet. Till the Father tells him. And then he's going to come and the trumpet's going to sound and we're all going to go to heaven. I'm glad I don't have to have a spaceship. God has to just take us right through, boy. You know. But anyway, so we have that appointed time. Well, by the way, we have another appointed time. You might not reach the rapture. Hebrews chapter 11. They had those promises. They didn't see the promise. Why? Because they died. Every one of us here sitting here tonight, if the rapture doesn't take place, we got another point of time, and that's when we're going to die. Okay? My Bible tells me it's in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Okay? If you want to turn there, you can, just to make sure I'm going to be correct. All right, it's appointed unto man once to die. All right, Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. All right, every one of us here, if the rapture doesn't take place, we are all going to meet that appointment. All right, now how many of you do me a favor? When you go home tonight, I want you to take your shoes and socks off and look on the bottom of your foot and see if there's an expiration date. There isn't one.
Amen.
There is not one. You don't know the time or the place when death's going to come and knock on your door. You know. But the thing of it is, we need to be prepared for that appointment.
Yep.
You're going to keep it, okay, whether you want to or not. Now, talking about the rapture, I have to share this with you. One of our churches, when we got there, they were behind in their mortgage and everything else, and we had to help bring them to get back. And so we did that, and so then we called the banker and his lawyer and our lawyer, myself, and we went and met at the church. Have to rewrite the mortgage and so forth. And then I looked at the banker and I said, I just want to share something with you, sir. He said, what? I said, you may not find us. And he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, as a Christian, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and call us and take us all home. And I said, well, if that happens, you're not going to find us. And he looked at me, and he looked at his lawyer. And he looked at me. He said, you think you can give me a 3-day notice? I said, no, my friend, you can't. No 3-day notice. It's going to happen just like that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hey, it'll be great tonight, wouldn't it? If it happened tonight, how many of you would be glad to go?
Praise the Lord.
How many are looking forward to going?
Amen.
How many got plans for tomorrow? Well, they're just shooting right out the walk. Right, there you go. All right. But, God doesn't work on our timetable. God doesn't work on our desires, but he works on his timetable, his way. All right, so then we have death. That could come. Okay? And it's a point of time. All right? When you were born, there was a death. God set a death. And we don't know how, when, or where it's going to happen. Okay? But one thing about it, if you're a child of God, if you've been born again and saved, Psalm 116, verse 15, is an encouragement. All right, I don't know about you, but to God. Psalm 116, you all know what it says? Psalm 116. Why don't you look that up for a moment? 116. All right. Psalm 116 and verse 11. No, excuse me. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Amen.
Precious in the sight of the Lord. You know. The people who fear death. Well, you ought, if you're a child of God, you ought not to fear death.
That's right.
Okay. And so, also when a child of God's taken out of us, our family and so forth, we ought to rejoice that they're with the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Because it's precious in God's sight. We go around and we moan and complain and so forth. I believe we are doing a disrespect to our Lord.
Yeah.
See? I'm glad for my mom and dad that they went to be with the Lord. And I remember when my dad died, my mom was still alive, and we were just rejoicing because dad's gone to be with the Lord. We knew that. He's better off than we were. Some people thought we were hard-hearted because we weren't crying and carrying on. Why should we?
Right.
He's with our Lord.
Yeah.
He's with his Lord. And the death was precious in God's sight.
Yeah.
All right? And so you need to hang on to that. Okay, if a loved one is taken in death. All right? And you need to encourage your family also. That the Lord would take you out. That, hey, don't do that. I remember my dad, one time we were catching chickens. Well, that's a lot of fun. And dad was just killed over in a driveway. And so all those kids were over. We were there all praying for him. And he opened up his eyes and he said, "What are you praying for? I'm ready to go." And I thought, boy, wow, that's really great. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Now let me also say this. There's appointed times that God has set that you and I don't know in our everyday walk with our Lord. There's appointments. They're called opportunities. Okay. I went up the other day and had some blood drawn. And the lady, she... young lady, she drew the blood and so forth, and then I gave her my card, and she said, "Oh, you're a pastor." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "I got some questions."
Yeah.
Ooh. Praise the Lord, that day she got saved.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to go and give blood. But that was a happy time to give blood. But not until after the fact. God had that opportunity. That's an appointment of God. All right? And every one of us has those opportunities every day. And therefore, we need to say, okay, Lord, here am I. Use me. Use me. Help me to see those opportunities that come my way and your way. All right? How many of you go out to eat once in a while? Okay, so I thought maybe we all did that. Raise your hand, Bob.
I go once in a while, I go constantly.
Yeah, I know. All right. Now let me ask you this. How many of you leave a track when you leave?
Amen.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of you leave a good tip?
Uh-oh.
Oh, good. All right. Some hands went up. They go eat. Some go and leave a track. Some people don't leave a good tip. Let me tell you something. That's an appointment when you go to eat. And that gal or that man who is waiting on you, all right, that's an opportunity. That's an appointment. All right? You may go out of that restaurant and you may go out and just feel so full and just happy, good. It was a good meal, it was a great meal, and so forth. But if you did not take advantage of that moment for the Lord, you missed the opportunity. You missed an appointment. And so many times we as Christians, because we have tunnel vision, we're just looking at ourselves and walking for ourselves, that we don't see the opportunities that come by. If you read the book of Acts, and I think I'm right, if you read the book of Acts, you'll never find the apostles asking the Lord for opportunities. They're asking the Lord for, help me to take advantage of all the opportunities. You got to have your eyes open in order to see how God is opening some doors for you that maybe otherwise would never be open. That's an appointment. God sets an appointment for us. Sets an appointment for us. Okay. I look back in my life and I see sometimes I miss some appointments. I remember a fellow calling me and asked me if I'd go to Binghamton and see his mom, and so I said, yes, I would, but you know, I forgot. And then when I realized that, oh, you know, I promised him I would do it, and I went, she was already dead. She had died. I missed that appointment that God had set for us. And I would challenge you all here tonight, okay, to realize that you live in this world, and Jesus said, ye are my witnesses. Wherever you go, watch out for the opportunities. They're there. Don't miss them. Don't miss them, okay? You say, well, I've been doing it, and I've never seen anything happen. Wait on the Lord, okay? You never know that witness you get. My Bible, Brother Jim pointed out yesterday, what did God, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase.
Amen.
See, and we might not see it in our lifetime, but because we were faithful to the Lord and we were willing to give out the scriptures and to give out a message to folks about Christ and how that they need to be born again and how they need to get saved, they might get saved after you die.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
You don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you've been faithful, you might just be watering. You might even be planting, but God's going to do the increase. We need to do that, right? How many of you preachers out there got cards with your name on it? Do you? Good. What do you have on the back of your card? Well, don't. Just not preachers. How about anybody else? Business people. Anybody here? Got a card? I have a card. But on the back, we have scripture.
Amen.
You know, and it's always good, you know. Everybody, I don't know, I think there's a lot of people in Palmyra right now, it's been all over their house. Wherever I go, I leave a card.
Yeah,
I give people the card. But many times I give it to them look like this. Instead of like this. We're not promoting the church. We're not promoting myself. We're promoting the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's an opportunity. That's what God gives us. And we need to be willing to go out, you know, and do it. Okay? As God said to Habakkuk, you write the vision. All right? You write the vision. And then you wait. And you tarry. Because that promise of God, that word of God goes forth. Okay? God's promised. He's going to use that to speak to hearts and lives. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so therefore, we need to do that. So, all right, and I trust God will challenge us here tonight, encourage us that we will be willing to accept his challenge in our lives about the appointment and so forth. All right, now this is for the preachers. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. All right. 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, Paul said this. This is for preachers here. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Preacher, we can't be an apostle, but we here are to be a preacher and a teacher. All right. There's no room to quit. Because God has appointed us in that position. All right. Got a lot of preachers that are quitting. Okay. We don't want to quit. Someone gave me this. An old preacher gave me this a long time ago. He said, Dick, preach, pray, and plug away. Father, I pray that you'll just encourage us with your word tonight. Encourage us that we will look for all those appointed times that you have for us to be a witness for you. Minister to each heart, each life. May we just continue to surrender ourselves to you. And that you can use us in a great, great, great way. Thank you, I pray. For this, we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rice, for the privilege of being able to come and speak.
Thank you.
All right. Follow the program now.
All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Let me do a couple advertisements here, and then we'll press on with the service. I got a news flash again that you probably won't...